This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is David Gardenstein-Ross. He's the Vice President for Research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies here in Washington. We want to get his reaction to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton telling Congress today that the Pakistani government is essentially abdicating to extremists, and they are now within hours of the capital city of Islamabad. And David, thanks so much for being with us.
It's always a pleasure to join you.
How accurate is that statement by the Secretary, and what's most responsible for it if it is true?
Secretary Clinton's statement is dead on. This is something that I've been talking about on your show and other places for quite some time. The fact that Pakistan has become a sanctuary for al-Qaeda in the tribal areas of the country, and that the Pakistani government, rather than doing something serious about this, has been retrenching and consistently giving in ground to al-Qaeda and its Taliban allies. This is completely correct. Now, the most recent thing that's occurred is a peace agreement between the government and Islamist militants in the Swat region, which has led to the imposition of a very strict form of Sharia law throughout that region, as well as giving the Taliban an opportunity to regroup there after having been flushed out by army operations several months ago. This is a situation which we need to take seriously because this is one of the two critical national security areas that we need to look at right now, the other one being Somalia. You've had a number of Somali-Americans who've gone back to Somalia allegedly to train for jihad. But these are the two major sanctuaries for terrorists in the world today. And al-Qaeda central leadership is there. This is a problem.
David, what is the reason for the Pakistani government's action towards the extremists up in the Swat Valley? And it sounds like they're not contentious to stay in that part of Pakistan. Is it the fact that they can't really resist them effectively, or that they just don't want to?
I think that it's largely the former rather than the latter. Whenever the Pakistani military has gone after militants in the tribal areas of the country, whether it's in Swat or Bajor or Waziristan or elsewhere, it's been incredibly costly for the Pakistani military. They've lost a lot of men, and quite frankly, political opinion in Pakistan tilts against any sort of actions that are perceived as being part of the war on terror. These actions are perceived as being done at the behest of the United States, and the U.S. isn't exactly popular in Pakistan right now. I think that the government you currently have in place, Zardari's government, is quite a bit better than Musharraf's. I think you have a lot of good people in key positions. But one figure that's been challenging them, Nawaz Sharif, has basically thrown in his lot with the militants. He's made a point that Pakistan needs to reconsider its support for the United States and the U.S.'s war on terror. He's been incredibly successful over the past several months, leading a long march, which he dubbed it, towards the capital city of Pakistan, and has gained a lot of political capital. That's another factor which is challenging their policies and pushing them in a direction of abdicating responsibility. But Secretary Clinton is dead on, and there's a jujitsu about this. The more you apply overt pressure to the Pakistani government, the more it does make it seem to Pakistani citizens that the Pakistani government is fighting the U.S.'s war and not their own war. So you have to be careful about how you apply pressure. It's something which there's no perfect answer to. Certainly the Bush administration didn't have a perfect answer, and the Obama administration's policies are still very much shaping up.
David, in terms of the end game here, is it the goal of these extremists to eventually overthrow this government? And if so, what does this government need to be prepared to do?
Well, the extremists would like to overthrow the government. There's no question about that. There's another question as to how realistic it is. I mean, there have been some dire warnings. Members of the Carter administration, for example, who were there when the Shah of Iran fell in 1979, have in the past analogized Pakistan to Iran 1979. Increasingly, as you've had the Swat region go under Sharia law, there have been many more commentators talking about the instability of the country. Now, not everyone would agree with that. There are many very learned, very perspicacious observers of Pakistan who believe that the government is much stronger, much less in danger than a lot of people say. But if you look, for example, at the leader of the group TNSM, an extremist extremist group that entered into a peace treaty recently with the Pakistani government. The leader's name is Maulana Sufi Muhammad. And just this weekend, he denounced Pakistan's constitution, denounced its parliament, denounced its Supreme Court, describing all of them as un-Islamic and calling for Sharia to be imposed throughout the country. So these guys are not making any secret of the fact that they would like to see the current regime fall and be replaced with a more Islamic regime.
David, you mentioned a moment ago that the current Pakistani government does not want to be seen as working especially closely with the U.S. at this point for political purposes. So what's the right U.S. policy here, either directly or indirectly?
Well, look, one thing that's important is being able to target top terrorist leaders in Pakistan. And we've been able to do so with much greater success under Zardari than we did under Musharraf. Under Zardari, we've carried out the majority of airstrikes that we wanted to against top terrorist leaders, whereas in the last year of Musharraf's rule, so many different requests to strike at top terrorist leaders were denied by the Musharraf government. In terms of pressure on Pakistan, I think ultimately a lot of it's going to have to come behind the scenes. I think that, for one thing, you can threaten aid if they don't undertake effective policies, and we can outline what we think those policies should be in broad outlines. I don't think it should be too overt, because the more overt it is, the more it makes it seem to the Pakistani public that their government is just being strong-armed by the United States. But you do need to get Pakistan to do something serious about the fact that these strongholds for Islamic extremists have developed in the country, because these strongholds are a threat to Pakistan. They're also a threat to the United States, and they're also causing problems in Afghanistan because these areas are being used as launching points for attacks against Afghan and coalition forces in that country.
And, of course, it's a nuclear power on top of all that. But as you pointed out, David, threats of deposing the government seem pretty long at this point. Thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
David Gardenstein-Ross is Vice President for Research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies here in Washington. This is Dateline Washington.